We're working on a date for a Shabbaton, either the first Shabbos November or the second Shabbos November. I was told there's a conflict with the second Shabbos. So maybe speak with Mordechai and see if the first Shabbos in November is an option. And tomorrow evening, Rav Asher Weiss is giving a shiur in my shul on Inyanei Shabbos, on Grama and Malecha Shabbos. So attendance is mandatory. It's a flyer, so I hope all of you will be there. It's something to see. It should be at 8:30. Okay. Okay, if you need rides or anything such as that, just let me know. We left off discussing various aspects of Davar Sheni Miskaven in Psik Reisha, and pointed out Makoros and the Rishonim that seem to understand Psik Reisha in a somewhat unusual way, that if it's ever possible to engage in a particular act without it resulting in that other Tozah, that cannot be called an act of Psik Reisha. So Rashi writes, for example, that Sugyan Zvachem Adav Tzari Aleph, in the case of Mezalfin Yain Al Gabi Haishin, that is not considered to be a case of Psik Reisha at all, because, after all, that it is possible to be Mezalef Yayim B'tik M'dakos. In such a case, it doesn't result in Kibui HaMizbeach. The Tosas in Daf Kuf Gimel writes that Hacha Mayaskinon, that must be the case. Rashi says that no, as long as it's a Dover She'eno Miskaven, one cannot label it as a Psik Reisha, because Ziluf Yayin is not associated by essence, by definition, with an act of Kibui HaMizbeach. And we saw Poshav Shat the Chiddush of Bor Sameach, the Rambam Hachosula Perches Alochahei, how the Rambam understood the Gemara of Islei Hoshana Achrite, a beautiful deal of Bor Sameach based on the omission of the Rambam. The Rambam just simply says that Likton La'achila is kosher, and the Rambam does not write that Hocha Mayaskinan de Islei Hoshana Achrite. Magid Mishnah points out, as he mentioned, a different girsa, where the Magid Mishnah writes the Rambam alludes to it in a single word of Likton Acher La'achim. Acher means one who is not faced with this problem, but someone who does not need this hadas for the purpose of a mitzvah at all. But Or Sameach writes again a beautiful chiddush that the Gemara did not mean to state that you must find yourself in that situation of Isnei Hoshana Achrita. The Gemara was telling you the halacha of Psik Reisha, that in the vast majority of cases, Likton Achila does not result in Tikkun Mana. So if that is your intent as a Davar HaMiskaven, you're right. In such a case, one is chayiv. If, however, it will be a davar she'eino meiskaven, one cannot say that removal of berries is a psik reisha of tikkun mana. Under normal circumstances and common sense terms, that certainly is not the case. And therefore, that cannot be called a psik reisha, and that's why the Rambam omits it. That's the teretz in lamdus. But in practice, it's not necessary that we're talking about that particular instance. And we saw further the chiddush in Shulti HaGiborim, when the Mishnah tells us that Mashal Mahadav Adome, if a person is Noel as Vesel Shamro Vayat Svi Shama Besocho, what's the halach in such a case? Isn't that considered to be a Psik Reisha of Tzeda? So we saw the various Shitas in the Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ramban, Shilti HaGiborim suggests exactly this Chiddush, that how can you argue Noel as Abelis the Shomer is a Psik Reisha of Tzeda? After all, that's something which is always done day in and day out, having nothing at all to do with it, Seda. A very great Chiddush that all these Makoros seem to indicate that in order to label something as a Psik Reisha, it means that A invariably will result in B. Literally, Psik Reisha of Lo Yamus. You can never remove the head of an animal without it resulting in Hariga. One can never, for example, right, take a masrik, a fine-tooth comb, and comb hair in such a way that it's not going to result in tolesh. Therefore, the Mishnah considers that to be a case of a psik reisha. Or if there is a beheres makomila, it's unavoidable that one will fulfill the mitzvahs brismila without violating this Rav Yishon ben Gatzaras. That's why, again, the difficulty, isn't that a case of psik reisha? Wearing a beged of shatnez, right? Isn't that a psik reisha of shatnez, even if one does so for the purpose of lavriach esameches, or the case of mochri ksuz? Those are instances of psik reisha. But if the association is not so tight, then that is not considered to be a case of psik reisha at all. So why should we assume that that indeed is the case? And how does that impact generally with the machlokas between Tosos and the Oros? So we started to discuss From this sugya and Afkuf Gimel Amud Aleph, we know that if you're dealing with a case of psikresha, which is lo nichale, in such an instance it is not chayiv min haTorah. But the Aruch goes a step further and argues that a psikresha is indeed mutter lechatchila as long as it is lo nichale. Good? If you were something like the Shita Sarach, as we mentioned, there are many sugyas that are resolved. The issue that we had when it comes to Shatnas of Mochrik Zuz, Psik Resha Dulonechale. The case in Kuflam and Gimel regarding Mila Bitzaras, again, a Psik Resha Dulonechale, because the Mo'ol is not really concerned whether the child is Tamir, whether in fact the child is Tohar. Mizalfin Yain Agabi Yishim, Psik Resha Dulonechale. The case of Isle Hoshana Frita, if one assumes that that's true and therefore it's mutla chadchila, many different sugyas hashas can indeed be resolved. Tosus, however, assumes really that is not the case. Tosus writes, all you see from the Gemara is psigresh lechle zachayu ben haTorah, but indeed there is an iser derabanan. If in fact that psigresh lechle is not mutter, what is the nature of this iser derabanan? So when you look in the next Tosus, Ba'ara de Chavrei, so Tosus writes a very great Kiddush, and that demonstrates that the Sheet of Darach and the Sheet of Tosus are very different. Sometimes if one argues Mutl HaChadchila, another again, it's an Issa Drabanan, it sounds like Midaraisa, they're in full agreement. Just a detailed Drabanan, an important detail, whether the Chachamim felt it was necessary to institute a Malach or a Gzeret Drabanan. But when you read through the Shakla Vatarya Tosus, you see that that's not the case here at all. There's a fundamental machlokas between the Aruch and the Shita of the Balia Tosus. Because Tosus writes the following Chiddush, that the reason Psikresha, Delon Echale, is indeed an Issa Drabanan is because of Malacha She'eno Tzrich Leguf. That's the Chiddush. In other words, that according to the Shita of the Aruch, Psikresha Delon Echale, is mutla chadchila because it remains a davar she'eno miskaven. We haven't left the realm, the shir of davar she'eno miskaven, when we start discussing psigresh l'nechle. According to Tosus, that's not true. Right, psigresh l'nechle is part of the earlier sugi that we did of malacha, she'eno tzrich l'gufa. What exactly is this issue? Very simply. Davar she'eno miskaven. Right, is mutla chadchila according to Rabbi Shimon. If indeed it's a psigresha, now it's chayiv, poshub shal chayiv min haTorah, ben b'shar yisurim, ben b'shabbos. Again, that Shita Mekubet says. All of a sudden, the Gemara says the following chiddush, b'med devar mamurim, if it's nichale, if it's lo nichale, that's not true, now it's mutter min haTorah. How do you understand it? No? What exactly does lo nichale accomplish? Often we set up our structure of step one, step two, step three. No? If step one is that, davar she'eno miskaven is mutter lechatchila. And step two is a psigracious chayiv min haTorah. Now lo nechle, what does that do? Is that a new consideration? Is that a new heter? Or does it tell us, no, that's not true. That if indeed it is lo nechle, so therefore back to our original position of step one, that this is considered to be a davar she'eno miskaven. That's the chiddush of the Aruch. The Aruch assumes that lo nechle means that this is no longer rendered as a psigresha, and therefore back to our original position, step one, that this is a davar she'eno miskaven, and if indeed it's a davar she'eno miskaven, it's mutter lechatchila. Mutter lechatchila not only in Hilchos Shabbos, but if you assume that the heter is davar she'eno miskaven, this will be mutter lechatchila as Tosus assumes as davar pashut within Shita Zarah, even when it comes to shar isurim as well. And that's why Tosus assumes in Ksuvas Davav the Ikar Ayaso had the Mezalfi Nain al Gabi Yishim. It's nothing at all to do with Malachi Shabbos, because Davar She'eno Miskaven is Mutl Lechatchil and Shari Surim according to Rabbi Shimon. Tosus assumes that certainly is not true. Tosus assumes that once you hit step two, that something is a psigresha, you can no longer address this issue in terms of Davar She'eno Miskaven. If there's any heter at all, it cannot be davar she'eno miskaven, because davar she'eno miskaven cannot be understood if indeed this is a psikresha. And if there is going to be any other heter, for example, on echle, it must be a new matir, step three, it cannot be step one. And that's why Tosus writes the following simple chiddush then. Look, if something is lon echle, so how can it be any worse than a malach she'eno tzrich legufo? Let's work with Tosus's definition. That's talking about a case where I'm interested in a particular totsah, that's clear, but it wasn't dumi de mishkan. So if I'm doing it for an express purpose, but the purpose differed from that as it was done in the mishkan, so in such a case, I am not going to be chayiv. So if something is lo nechale mamish lo ichpasle, where this is something that I do not desire at all, how can that be dumi de mishkan? How can you consider that to be malachas marshevis at all? So therefore, this will fall within the category of malacha shino tzrich l'gufa. Malacha shino tzrich l'gufa indicates even more. It's not enough that you just simply insist on a malachas tikkun, but the malachas tikkun must be ke'en ha-mishkan. That's how the Ri understood. Well, if something is lo nechale, well, obviously that was not done ke'en shayosim b'mishkan, and therefore malacha shino tzrich l'gufa. That's the p'tur. If the p'tur is malacha shino tzrich l'gufa, not davar shene miskaven, there are two critical nafkaminas. Nafkamina number one, as we mentioned earlier, is when it comes to the realm of Shabbos. Whether this is mutter, whether this is potter. That's our sugya nafkav gimel. But a more basic nafkamina, what about shar isurim? What is the halacha p'sik reish l'nechle when you leave the area of Shabbos? According to the Aruch, it's mutter l'chathina. According to the Chiddush of Tosus, that will be Chayiv min HaTorah. Because there is no heter of Malacha Shino Tzrich L'Gufa when it comes to Shar Yisurim. We're going to have to discuss again which halachos are or are not a function of Malachas Machsheves. But Tosus points out, and of Ayin Heimar Aleph, that Malacha Shino Tzrich L'Gufa, right, is a p'tur based on Malachas Machsheves. That's what Tosus writes explicitly in Daf Ayin Hey. Tosus even writes a very, very great Kiddush, that if you can come up with a malacha that we know is an exception to malachas machsheves, then even Rav Shimon would agree that malacha shino tzrich l'gufa is going to be chayiv. Because malacha shino tzrich l'gufa is a function of malachas machsheves. Do you have such a case? So Tosus says, yes. That's sugi that we learned on Daf Kuvav. Let's assume, for example, the case of Mekalkel b'chabura. Mekalkel b'chavur is chayiv, meaning that we don't require of chovel the prati dinim of malachas machsheves. So Tosfos suggests in Daf Ayin Hey Amud Aleph a very great chiddush that in such a case, when it comes to chabura chavala, so therefore malachas shino tzrich l'gufa is going to be chayiv. That's a halacha of malachas machsheves. Even if one does not assume that it's rooted directly in malachas machsheves, but the concept of malach shenet tzrich l'guf is Shabbos, why should that be relevant when it comes to shar yisurim? The definition of the malach according to the Ri, ke'ein mishkan, that's relevant when it comes to other areas l'halacha. That would mean that according to the sheet of the Tosus, a malach shenet tzrich l'guf would be chayiv min ha-Torah in those cases. That's a critical chiddush. The Aruch and Tosus are not now just disagreeing with the Din Rabbanan. They're arguing on a level of deraisa malacha shino tzrich l'gufa when it comes to shar isurim. This is ha'ar that Rabbi Kiveger has in Yoredeya in Simen Pezayin. Here the Rama writes the following chiddush, that yesh omrim, da osar lachtos eish tachas kedera shel oved kochavim. One is not allowed to rake, to stir up the fire underneath the pot that a goy is using to cook. Why is that true? Lefi shehem mevashlim bahem pa'amim chalav, pa'amim basar. Because after all, right, this pot is sometimes used for basar, sometimes used for chalav. V'machat tachas kedera shalahem, boli de bishul basar b'chalav. That's what the Rama quotes the name of the Mordechai. If a guy will just say, you know, just rake the coals, stir up the fire, that you cannot do, after all, because that could potentially result in bishul basar v'chama. Rabbi Kiveger has a few very, very important ta'aras. Now, Rabbi Kiveger first writes the following. Koshali is this difficulty. Achor, this is Eino miskavein. The Jew who's mechate b'gecholim. So his intent is bishul basar v'chalav. That's probably the furthest thing from his mind. No? Isn't that considered to be a davar shenem iskavim? That's Rabbi Kveger is bothered by. And as we mentioned, Davar Sheni Miskaven should be mutter even when it comes to Shari Surim. So Rabbi Kveger says, Al Karchach, one must assume that this is a case of psikresha. What does that mean? No, it's a psikresha. That's what the Rama says. Pa'amim mevashnim chalav and pa'amim basar. The possibility that it could lead to basar v'chalav. So if it's just a possibility, it's never shenim iskaving. The fact that it's usher, we have to assume that this is a psikresha. Unless you're willing to assume, like Rabbi Yehuda Shita, Davar Sheni Miskaven is chayiv. Yeah, we did see in the Shultos, but we don't assume that way, Halacha Tosfos points out, that maybe in Psak Halacha one should assume Davar Sheni Miskaven in Shari Surim is indeed asr. But we assume Davar Sheni Miskaven is mutter even in Shari Surim, as the Tosfos says in Daf Kuf Yud. So if this is true, this chash is a psikresha. Isn't that a contradiction in terms? This possibility is inevitable. What does that mean? Rabbi Kveger points out a pretty incredible chiddush, though. No, this is a psikresha. This is a psikresha. Why is that true? D'davka safek d'lahaba. If the safek is lahaba, that's not a psikresha. But a safek l'sha'avar is a psikresha. Well, that's Rabbi Kveger's first chiddush. B'med ramurim, that we say it's a davar sheni miskaven, that B may or may not occur, future-oriented. B may or may not occur. But let's assume the entire suffix is lisha'avar. That al-pidin is called a psikresha. That's a very interesting chiddush, no? What do I mean by that? The following. All the cases of psikresha are projecting forward. If I do this, it may or may not result in B. Future-oriented. Then you can discuss, is this or is this not a psikresha? The suffix is lahaba. What happens, however, if the suffix is lishaavar? Lishaavar. That means simply a chisar nidia. I am clueless. The facts are known. The facts are clear. But I do not know what indeed the facts are. Chisar Yediyah. Is that called Davar Sheni Miskaven, or is that called a psikresha? I want to open up a refrigerator on Shabbos. Can I argue that when the light will or will not go on, Davar Sheni Miskaven, it's not something that I intend. I'm not opening the fridge because I need the light. Davar Sheni Miskaven. And I'll tell you, it's not a psikresha, because perhaps the light bulb was unscrewed before Shabbos. Is that true? Does that make it a Davar Sheni Miskaven of psikresha? Or can one argue as follows? What was is the given. No? If the light bulb was not unscrewed, it will definitely result in Melech HaShabbos. If not, then not. But that suffix was l'sha'avar. That suffix is not projecting Mahaba. A person goes at Gora Demito Kisa V'Savsa. Good. Now there's a possibility that it will result in greater based on the coming, the future circumstance. That's a case where we say it's Davar Sheni Miskaven Psikresha. But if it's a suffix lishavar, good, so we're just simply unaware of the set of facts. Let's say you'd ask the owner of the house, he would tell you, I did or I did not unscrew the bulb. No? So that's a psikresha. That's Rabbi Kveger writes. No? Here as well, I don't know what this pot was used for, right? But there is a possibility that the guy used it for basar and for chalav, in which case, when you are mechate b'gichalim, that is basar b'chalav. So in such a case, that's a psikresha. The fact that you don't know what occurred in the past, Rabbi Kveger writes, that does not render something. It's a davar sheni miskaven. That's the first chiddush. We'll have to talk about that. Not everyone agrees with that. That's the lengthy chiddush in the Taz. The Taz is found in Shin Tes Zayin and Sivkot and Gimel. The Taz discusses the following case. I guess it exists bisman hazeh, but in earlier times, right? Always, where people used to have bread boxes. No, they used to keep, right, the bread, the mezonos, and everything in these containers in order that bugs should not infest. Good. So let's assume, for example, that you open it up to take out the bread. Right? Are you allowed to close it? Are you allowed to close it? What's the problem? Well, at times, bugs do enter. No? So the act of closing the lid should be a problem. I'm saying no. No? Let's assume, for example, are you allowed to close the lid on a garbage can? You have a garbage can in your backyard. You put something in. Can you close the lid? Right? There is a distinct possibility that there are some bugs that are inside, and by doing so, that would be an act of tzedah. Now you're confining them. You'll tell me it's davar shenei miskaven. When a person closes the lid, he is not intending to do an act of tzedah. Well, maybe I'll tell you it's psik resha. It's a case of psik resha. No? Or is it not? The Taz assumes it's not a psik resha. If the bugs are there, then you can't close it. But if maybe yes, maybe no, davar shenei miskaven, and therefore it's mutter. Why is that a chiddush? Because there the suffix is l'shavar. The suffix is, at the time that I'm doing so, are the bugs there or are they not there? Not projecting as to any future step. Rabbi Kiveger assumes that's not called davar shenei miskaven. That's called a psik resha. Look inside and you'll see if a bug is there. That's absolute tzedah. The fact that you don't look or you're not mevarer, right, does not allow you to rely on this as a case of davar shenei miskaven. You would not be allowed to put the lid on the bread box without checking it out in order to see that it's free of bugs and it doesn't result in seidah. That's the issue of Rabbi Kiveger and the Taz. Suffix psikresha, meaning a suffix lishavar. Is that a davar shenei miskaven or not? So Rabbi Kiveger writes, number one, if you look in the Rama, it seems clear. Because otherwise this should be mamish a case of davar shenei miskaven. Good, that's chiddush number one, Rabbi Kiveger writes. We'll have to discuss this machlokis in greater detail. The number two, what's the story in this case? Well, you'll argue, good, let's assume it is a psik resha, as Rabbi Kiveger writes, because the suffix is a shava. Is this nechale or lo-nechale? Lo-nechale, no? The bishop asa b'chalav, something which is lo-nechale at all. So what's the halach in a psik resha lo-nechale? Oh, machlokas tosas naruch. What's the machlokas? Rabbi Kiveger writes, according to naruch, it's mutter lechatchila. And according to Tosus, it's an Isser Daraisa. Because Tosus says in our Sugya Kuf Gimel, the Psik Reish L'Nechle is Mutter Min HaTorah because it's a Malacha Shinatzrich L'Gufa. So Rabbi Kiveger writes, that's only true when it comes to Malacha Shabbos. When it comes to Shar Isurim, such as Basa B'Chalav, this would be Chayiv Min HaTorah. Then Rabbi Kiveger continues and quotes the Rush that we saw in Yutez Dalet, that is it so simple that even the Aruch, who says the Psik Reish L'Nechle is Mutal Chatchila, would even extend this to Shari Suri? The Rush maintained that no, the Aruch Shita was only relevant when it comes to Malacha Shabbos, and not when it comes to Shari Suri. That's the Rabbi Kiveger today in Simen Pem Zayin. Is there a common lumdus that links all these cases? Shari Surim, and Shabbos, whether it's Davar Shenei Miskaven, Malach Shenei Tzrich Lagufa, Safik Lahava, Safik Lishava, whether the Aruch Shita is in Shabbos, Bechala Torah Kula. So perhaps the common link is the following Chiddush that I started to mention in the earlier Shem. Why is it that a Psik Reisha is answered? Step one, davar shenei miskaven is mutter. Step two, if it's a psik resha, it is asur. Let's assume chayim. Why is that true? Why is that true? One possibility is the following. If it's a psik resha, ki miskaven domi. Now, what do you mean it's a davar she'eino miskaven? This is an unintended act. You should have anticipated that B would occur because A results in B. Psik resha. Psik Resha means that how can you maintain that this is Davar Shein Miskaven? You should have attended the independent Totsah B would occur because invariably A results in B. Can Miskaven Dami? Or perhaps you could argue as we start to discuss that no, Psik Resha is much more than that. Psik Resha is not just simply a question of anticipation, that you indeed should have realized that A would result in B, but rather your whole distinction between A and B is artificial. What do you mean, A and B? I only intended to cut off the head of the animal, but I did not intend to perform an act of hariga. And I'll respond and I'll say, Psik Resha, what does that mean? You should have realized? I would argue much more than that. No? Psik Resha is hariga. Hainu hach. Maisachas. The whole distinction between A and B is artificial. If B may or may not occur, then you can raise the question, did you intend for B? Once you posit that this is a psik resha, in such a case, there's no independent B at all. It's a tautology, maisachas. These are two very different ways of understanding psik resha. Kimiskaven dami, one should have anticipated. Or no, this is mamish adavra hamiskaven because kavana for A is kavana for B. When a nazir takes a fine-tooth comb and combs his hair, that is called tolesh. Not that he should have, this is tolesh, because he intended to comb, and combing is tolesh. What do you mean that you intended to wear the garment, but you didn't intend to fight this sort of shatness? That is this sort of shatness. Right? Unless you'll be mechadish. We discussed yesterday, no, that levisha disbehana, there's another element to shatness. What do you mean you intended to remove the orla but not to remove the neged saras? That's where the neged saras is. That is removal of the nega. Well, unless you'll be mechadish as the Rosh Barais, there's a different element. Right? Tara sam and sarash lo pikoin. Good. There is not A and B. Right? That's what it is. No? My sachas. Poshab shat, this is the machlokus between Tosus and the Aruch. The chiddush of the Aruch is the following. That even though one raises the issue of psik resha, the structure is still davar shenu miskaven. The question is that you should have anticipated that B would result, psik resha. You know what the answer is? Lo nechle. Lo nechle responds to psik resha. You're telling me that part of my intent is that B would occur? I didn't desire B. I don't want B to occur. Or at least I'm not nene from B. And therefore, this remains a davar shenu miskaven. That's the chiddush of the Aruch Shita. You're telling me if it's a psik resha, therefore, I had kavana, machshava, ratzon for B. I didn't have ratzon for B. Mamash lo nechale. That's the Chiddush Daruch. So we're back to step one. This is called the Davar Shenu Miskaven. Daruch maintains even within Psik Resha, you can isolate A and B, and therefore one can respond that A, there was Ratzon, B, there was no Ratzon, and therefore this remains the Davar Shenu Miskaven. Because I'm only Chayiv if there was a Davar HaMiskaven, meaning that there was Ratzon Bailim, and there was no Ratzon Bailim, no Nechalei. And therefore, the Aruch maintains that this is the basis of the heter davar shenu miskaven. And therefore, mutar lechatchila. Tosfos assumes that that cannot be. Tosfos assumes that once something is a psik resha, you cannot isolate A and B. If A is nichale, that's true of B as well. That's a davar hamiskaven. Psik resha is hariga. The most you could argue is lachashinu tzrich legufa, anuptur. You're right. I did intend for B to occur because intent for A is intent for B. but I wasn't doing it for the same purpose. Let's assume as the Re is as on the Mishkan. The answer is you're 100% right. Even though it was a deliberate act, the Davar HaMiskaven, but not Ke'ein, not Dumi the Mishkan, so you're put, they're based on Malach HaShinot Tzrich L'Gufa. But we have left the world of Davar Shein HaMiskaven. Because Psik Reisha means this is K'miskaven Dumi, in the sense of Ma'aseh Echad. That Pashem Shas Machlokas between the Aruch and Tosfos. If the Aruch maintains that Lo Nechle simply responds to psikration, it reverts back to Davar Shein HaMiskaven, now one could raise the issue. This is relevant when it comes to Shari Suri. And that's what Tosfos assumes in Ksuvos and Davav, and our Tosfos as well, Kuf Gimel, that the Aruch's Chiddush is B'cholot Aruch Kula, not just when it comes to Melech HaShabbos. According to Tosfos, that cannot be. This is Davar HaMiskaven, it proves Moshe Netzrich L'Guf, only relevant when it comes to Shabbos, not when it comes to Shar Yisurim. Even that Chiddush that we show in the Shittim Kobetzes, the beginning of Ksuvos and Davav, there's something which is a psikresha. Is that Osir or is that Chayiv? Shittim Kobetzes distinguished. B'chol HaTorah Kula, there's something which is Chayiv. When it comes to Shabbos, Potav Losser, great Chiddush, Poshav Shabbat, we mentioned against this Gemara in Kuf Gimel. But the Chiddush of Shittim Kobetzes, a psikresha and Shabbos is only Dindar Rabbanon. In the broader sense, that's following the lundus of the Aruch. It doesn't mean it's Maisachas. It means that if it's a psik resha, you should have anticipated that B, which is independent of A, would result. So you know what I could argue, as a Shittim Kobetzes does? The fact that I failed to anticipate, that's not Meleches Masheres. That's a Meleches Uman. A Meleches Uman means that there is overt Ratzon, not just simply that I should have known better. If you're telling me the Psikresha means it's K'miskaven Dami, now one can raise the issue, maybe there's a different measure of Shabbos and Shari Surah. Maybe when it comes to Shabbos, that's not enough. That I should have known that B would result. Should have known is not called a Meleches Umnus, Meleches Masheves. If you argue Mamech to Davar HaMiskaven because it's Maisachas, hard to distinguish between a Shabbos and Shari Surah when it comes to Psikresha. If it's Maisachas, Kavana for A is Kavana for B, it's a Davar HaMiskaven, Davar HaMiskaven is Chayvan Shabbos. But if you're telling me no, you should have realized that that's true. So one could argue that that still falls short of Meleches Masheves. Or, for example, the Chiddush of the Rosh. If the Lundus of the Aruch is not that it's considered to be Maisachas, but rather if something is a Psik Resha, it's K'miskaven Dami. And Lo Nechale addresses that detail, whether it's K'miskaven or not, then one could understand the Shita Sarash that you cannot equate Shabbos with Shari Surim. Because maybe one could argue that that's true, that B'chol HaTorah Kula Psik Reisha is K'miskaven Dami, but on Shabbos, more than that is required, similar to Shittim Kobetzes. The Shittim Kobetzes writes this even about a Psik Reisha in general. But what about the Aruch of Psik Reisha when it comes to Shari Surim? If it's Lo Nechale, one could argue that a Psik Reisha Lo Nechale is K'miskaven Dami, but it's not Meleches Masheves. And therefore the Rosh is Chiddush that even the Shita Sa'aruch, Psik Reisha Nechle is Mutter, is only when it comes to Shabbos, not when it comes to Shari Surim. Good? This is further relevant to the Makoros which we began with, right, yesterday Shir. How tight does Psik Reisha have to be? Where did Rashi, the Rambam, Shilti HaGiborim, derive this Chiddush? Of if B can be performed without A, or A can be performed without B, can't call that a psikresha, mezalf and yayin, esner shanachrite, shilti hagiborim. One could argue that this is the issue as well. If you assume that psikresha means maisa achas, that division is artificial, there is no B. A and B are identical. That lamdas then can give rise to the Rambam, the Shilti HaGiborim, perhaps even Rashi Shit as well. I can say that the case of psikresha equals hariga. Can I say that removal of berries by definition is tikkun mana? The answer is, no, it depends. Sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's the Oshana Achrita, then no. Less the Oshana Achrita, then yes. That cannot be called a psikresha. There, of course, one can isolate A and B. Because generally speaking, A does not result in B at all. So how can you argue that's called Maisachas? How can you say that Ni'ilas Hadeles is Tzeda? Or Rashi, how can you say Mizalfin Yayin equals Kibui HaMizbeach? Sometimes yes, sometimes no. If it's anticipation, Kimiskaven Dami, then I could argue the following. I acknowledge that A and B are distinct. I never claim they're identical. But my argument is the following. In your particular circumstance, you should have realized that A would result in B. You who are hungry and don't have a hadas should have realized that Likta Nachila is going to provide you with a hadas. That's called a psikresha. And therefore, you should have realized that if there's a tzvi in the house and you close your door, that indeed is tzeda. But in order to argue that no, objectively, this is not an independent totsa, but hainu hach, maybe you require that measure of Rashi, the Rambam, and Shilti HaGiborim, that A will always result in B, categorically. This lamdus could also be applied to our issue of the Taz and Rabbi Kiveger regarding a psikresha l'shavar. Maybe psikresha l'shavar is the opposite case, no? If you'll argue that kimis kavenda, what does that mean? From the point of view of the gavra, this should have been realized. There was no suffix. And don't you know that if you drag this heavy, heavy chair across the lawn, it's going to ruin the lawn? It's going to make a charitz? Kimiskavindami. Can you say kimiskavindami? Right? From the perspective of the gavra, if there's a suffix, even if the suffix is l'shavar, if the person is clueless as to whether A will result in B, can you argue that that's a psikresha? Kimiskavin dami. The Taz says it doesn't matter whether you're projecting forward, whether you're reverting back, makes no difference. If from the perspective of Osa HaMalacha, there is clear ambiguity whether this will or will not occur, how can you call that a psikresha? That means from the perspective of Gavra, his chisaron yediyah is sufficient that it can no longer be called a case of psikresha. But if you're telling me no, we're not interested b'torah as Gavra, yes kimiskavin, not kimiskavin. We're interested objectively whether this act, A, is it B or is it not B? then it makes very good sense to distinguish in a Safek Lahabana, Safek Lashavar. If, given the circumstance, there is a Safek, calculate up secretion. But if, given the circumstance, there is no Safek, the circumstances are that the Balabayis did not unscrew that light, and therefore opening the refrigerator will absolutely cause it to be lit. So that means, in that condition, this is what invariably will occur. The fact that there is a suffix in terms of the gavra as to whether that is the set of circumstance or not, why should that be relevant? Now, how is it that we view davar sheni miskan as posib sigresha? If you're telling me it's kemiskavin dami, so in such a case, then that means that this is something that the individual certainly should have been aware of. And if he is not aware, even based on a suffix l'shavar, how can you call that a case of segregation? Are there any clear makoros in terms of the suffix l'shavar? This l'chora should be a critical issue. Whether segregation takes into account the suffix l'shavar, only a suffix l'haba. So there is a sugi and of Mem Aleph, which is quite important. Here the Mishnah tells us, Mem Aleph Med Aleph, the Bara Mishnah. Hamecham, a kettle. Shepinahu. Pinahu means it was removed. You take this and now it is removed from the fire. Shelo al gavei ha'ish. Lo yitein letocho tzonein. You're not allowed to take cold water now. You take it off the fire, you empty out its water. You still have a burning hot kli rishon. No, shelo al gavei ha'ish. So lo yitein letocho tzonein. You can't put cold water into that. Bishvil sheyechamu, in order that the cold water will become hot, that's an act of bishul. But the Mishnah says, "Avol no sein hu lesocho, o lesoch hakos, kedei lahavshirim." That's unclear. Avol no sein hu lesocho. You're allowed to put it in it. We'll have to see what that is. O lesoch hakos, kedei lahavshirim. Just simply to warm. So the Gemara asks, "My kamar, what's the difference in the Rishon Seifa?" So Amr Barba Masna Hachi Kamar, Hamechem Shepina Menu Maim Chamim. You have a kettle and you emptied out the boiling water, but that kettle is still piping hot. Lo yitin atocha mayim mu'atim kedei shichamu. You can't put a small amount of water in, intending that that water will become boiled. That's mamish bishul. But the last line of the Mishnah, Avonos in the socho mayim rubim. But you are allowed to put a lot of water in that kettle, because the lot of water is not going to be heated to the shear of the Yatzalet as well. And that's what the Mishnah says, Kedei Lahav Shiran, just simply to warm it slightly. So you have a Kli Rishon, you're not allowed to put a small amount of water in it, again, obviously Shlal Gabei Eish, but a large amount of water, it's not going to result in Mishnah at all. The Gemara asks the following question. V'halo mitzari. Mem Aleph Amud Beis. V'halo mitzari. If you're right, the water is not going to be warm to the point of Yatzalet Espel to Bishul. There's so much water. But if you take a piping hot metal kettle and now you put a lot of water in it, doesn't that harden the kettle? And therefore, it should be a problem of Tikkun Kli. Machzik nesakli. Rashi writes, "Vezui gemar meleches hatzarfim." That should be tikkun mana. The Gemara answers, "Rabbi Shimon he, damar davar sheni miskavin mutar." This is Rabbi Shimon. Siruf is a davar sheni miskavin, and as a davar sheni miskavin, therefore it should be mutar. Tos Tosfos is bothered by the following problem, the Ras HaMecham, and this is what the Ramban discusses in the Melchamos, and Daf Yud Tes Simud Beis. The Gemara says that according to Rabbi Shimon, this is Mutter, so you have to say apparently that this is not a Psik Resha. No? Because if indeed it's a Psik Resha, then V'halo Mitzarif. It's the fact that the Gemara says that's a Dover Shenim Iskavein. So Tosa says, V'tzarif Lomar, D'lo Havi Psik Resha, Shiyachli Yoshalo Yitzarif. That's what Tosus writes, the second to the white line in the Tosus. This can't be a case of psikresha. Because if it's going to be psikresha, forget it, no? It's also. Again, according to the Aruch, one could argue, not a difficulty at all. It's a psikresha. My intent is to warm this water. It's siruf. I'm not concerned about Zeruf. So according to the Aruch, forget it, the Kash is simple. The Aruch's Teretz is so convenient when it comes to so many sugis. If it's right, it will resolve many difficulties. So it's a Psik Resha L'Nechalei. That's one possibility. So it's Mutter. Possibly number two. What we discussed, the Magid Mishnah, the Rashi and Sukkah Daf Lama Gimel. Wait, here we're talking about Tikkun Mana. Maybe there's something special about Tikkun Mana. Maybe Tikkun Mana, right, is unusual in the sense that there, Kavanas HaGavra is critical. Because it is my mindset that determines whether this is indeed Tikkun Mana or whether it's not. Maybe one could even argue that in Matke Bepatish, even if it's a Psik Resha, even if it is a Psik Resha. Yeah, but Tikkun Mana is subjective. That's the Ishlei Hoshana Achrita. Isn't that a Psik Resha? Ishlei Hoshana Achrita, and therefore, Rashi says, Ein Sham Tikkun Kli. Maybe one could extend that based on that Magid Mishnah Perkei Beis Epocha Shabbos. Take a look at the Lechem Mishnah and Hilchos Avodas Yom HaKippurim. At Beis Dalet. That's where the Chumash discusses the case of Yuma Daf Lamed Aleph and Beis. Maybe when it comes to Makke Patish, even if it is a Psik Resha, maybe that's not awesome in the Torah. So one possibility is it's L'Nechalei. Another possibility is no, there's something special about Makke Patish. The Ramban of the Melchamos, right? No, this can't be a Psik Resha. If it's a Psik Resha, Rav Shimon is going to agree that it's forbidden. So this is not a Psik Resha. That's what the Melchamos writes. Yud Tes Mem Beis and Daf Yarif, the last lines. Lav Psik Resha Hu, the Melchamos writes. The very last line, Shema Lo Higil Et Siruf. Maybe the pot didn't get that hot. You know, you have to have intense heat that the heat is going to soften the metal. So it could be. You'll keep a pot on the stove for a couple of hours. That will happen. Yeah, just because you boil up water doesn't always occur. Shem lo higil et siruf. Even though, afal pi shenischemem harbe. Good. And then the Mochama says, Shema kvar nitzrav kogim shenasekli. Or maybe it was already hardened. You have a hardened steel pot. It was already forged. Well, so every time you cook with it, it's not going to soften and harden again. Forged steel. So the Mochama writes, it's not a Psik Resha, because there are a lot of variables. Now, maybe it didn't get that hot. Maybe it was forged steel. So in such a case, therefore, this is not a Psik Resha, therefore, Dover Shenim Iskavein. Why is this so relevant to us? All these cases are a suffix, L'shavar. Right now, you're pouring cold water right into this kettle. You want to know whether it results in siruf or not? It depends on, right, the past. how long was it on the fire? What temperature did it reach? Is it forged steel or is it cheaper steel? All those factors are relevant. That's the Chiddush, the Ramban. Poshav Shet and Ramban, this is like the Shita Sataz. Sounds like it's against the Rabbi Kivanger. This is not called a Psik Resh at all. The Ramban does not answer, this is a Psik Resh, a Psik Resh L'Mechle, but the Ramban doesn't say there's anything special about Makbe Patish. The Ramban writes that this is not called a Psik Resh because there are too many Sfeikos, even though they're all a Safik Deshavar. And I can find out, it's a Chisaron Yediya, what the temperature was, whether it was on the stove for 10 minutes or hours, whether indeed this is forged steel or whether it's not, whether it's Igilit Sirup, low Igilit Sirup, but nonetheless, this is called Dover Shinem Iskavi. The Bir Halach and Simin Shin Sadi Zayin, the Ramasvil Ulachain, cites this Ramban as a riot to the Taz. Even the Shavar, there is a latest Asafik, therefore it's not called a Psik Resha. We can take a look at Avnei Nezer and Arachayim and Simen Resh Nun Aleph. And what about Rabbi Kveger's Raya from the Ramah? The case of Basa B'Chalav. Why isn't that Davar Sheni Miskavin? Why is that called a Psik Resha? How did Rabbi Kveger respond to the Mochamos? So maybe here as well, it's necessary to distinguish between Shabbos as opposed to Shar Yisrael. Rabbi Kveger was referring to Basa B'Chalav. Mochamos is referring to Melacha B'Shabbos. Maybe one could suggest in the following Kiddush. We argue that the suffix l'sha'avar depends on the following issue. Whether you view from the perspective of the osa hamalacha, the gavra, or whether objectively this act will or not result. The fact that I have a particular suffix because I'm clueless, that doesn't impact on the maisa hamalacha. Right, the guy has basar b'chalav, right? The fact that I'm unaware of that, objectively that doesn't alter. Maybe one could argue the following chiddush. Rabbi Kveger never suggested this is true when it comes to Melacha Shabbos. There, as we'll see, there's a dimension of Melachas Machsheves that certainly requires das and ratzon hagavra. We're going to see that there are different aspects of Melachas Machsheves. Some aspects of Melachas Machsheves are bechefza, meaning that's part of the geder hamalacha. Some elements of Melachas Machsheves are simply ratzon hagavra. Now we're going to see there are two different halachos of Melachas Machsheves. One halacha of Melachas Machsheves is the kavana sa'adam and shlemus ritzono, meaning was his intent carried out? Is this what he planned to accomplish? But as we've seen, there's another world to Melachas Machsheves as well, and those are fixed halachos in terms of the Hagdaras HaMalacha. Let's assume, for example, Makalka. We learned of Kufav. Makalka's of Torah Melachas Machsheves, right? The Sugin Chagig and Davyud. That's a Chisaron in Ratzon Hagavra. Well, the person intended to do this. He knew exactly what he was doing. He knew what the outcome would be. But I will tell you that that is not considered to be a significant enough tikkun to result in a chiyuv min haTorah on Shabbos. That's not a chisaron in the das gavra, no? In ratzon, in kavana, certainly not, no? They were arguing that Melechus Machsheves is an objective standard. There are two halachos in Melechus Machsheves. One could argue as follows, that maybe this is certainly true when it comes to Shabbos, but not when it comes to Shari Surim. When it comes to Shari Surim, if you want to know whether A results in B, the objective measure is sufficient. The fact that the Ose HaAveira was or was not aware, that's not relevant. But when it comes to that which is Meleches Machsheves, can you indeed argue that there was Kavana Sagavra, there was Ratzon HaBailin, when he did not realize that this would not occur because there was legitimate suffix that he had, even though objectively this was only a Chisar Nidia. Rabbi Kveger could simply argue that that Chiddush that he said is Muchach in the Ramah is Chun Hochas Basa B'chala, but not relevant when it comes to Melech HaShabbos, where Melech HaShabbos covers both areas. Right, the objective latest asafik as well as that issue. When it comes to Shlema Sirtzona, what we'll do tomorrow, and then next Sunday we'll start the Melacha Bora, is the following. Just in summation of what we've been discussing, the Bas Shiurim, we'll go through all these halachos quickly of Melachas Machsheves, which are part of category A, Melachas Machsheves as a function of the Ratzon Hose HaMelacha, right, which are halachos of Melachas Machsheves that are part of the Etzem Hagdaras HaMelacha, the possibility of Melachas Machsheves L'chumra. Now take a look at that Sugya Bava Kama and Daf Samach. The Gemara says, for example, Li Bava Lipsa Ruach. No? A person that ignites a coal, and the wind goes ahead and has a life of its own. The wind further ignites it, takes the fire, destroys. When it comes to Dina Mamanos, is that called my act of Hezek, or is that called a Grama Binizakin? If Lib Saharuach. The Gemara asks the following kasha, how can you say that's called a Grama Binizakin? How can you say that's called Grama? No? What about the Malach of Zore? No? Ruach Misayato? No? Ruach Nisayato. Isn't that what winnowing is? I'm relying on the wind to do the work for me. So I throw this up, and the wind is going to carry off the husks, and the kernels are going to fall to the ground. So how can you say that a malacha ayyadei haruach is called grama? So you know what the Gemara answer is? Unbelievable. Malachas Machsheves Asur Torah. So one thing you see very clearly is the following. That's one of the few places, we'll come across a couple more in the Rishonim, one of the few places that Meleches Machsheves is L'chumra, that if is Ovid Machshavaso, you'll be Chayiv on Shabbos. Even though when it comes to Shari Surei Torah, we're going to call that a Grama. That's a great Kiddush, no? Second issue, I assume this is going to be Rosh Hashanah's topic tomorrow, right, is that really true that Grama is Chayiv on Shabbos? Is that what that Gemara tells us? That Grama is Potter when it comes to Nezikin, Grama Nezikin is Potter, but a Grama is Chayiv on Shabbos? Is that what the Gemara means? What does the Gemara mean to say? How can he be tied for Zoruch Messiah? The Gemara says, Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah. Does the Gemara just simply mean to say this is something which is unique to the Malach of Zoreh? That's the Malach of Zoreh, right? Ruach Misayato. Or does the Gemara mean to say a much broader teretz, no? That Grama can be Chayiv on Shabbos. There should be other sugyas also that speak about Grama, no? The Gemara Daf Kuf Chav discusses Gram Kivui as being Potter on Shabbos, no? Is that a stira? That I go ahead and I put those, right, containers of water at a distance of the fire, knowing very well that the fire is going to hit them, but when it does, it will burst the containers and the water will extinguish the flames. That's a gram kibui, which is mutter min haTorah. And in Zohar, the Gemara says, despite the fact that it's a gram Meleches Machsheves Asur Torah, what's the difference between Zohar as opposed to gram kibui? Zohar, that's what you intended to do, to utilize the ruach. And that's exactly what I intended to do. The fire is blazing. I wanted to protect my home. I set up a barrier, right, of barrels of water, knowing very well that the water is going to extinguish. No, when is Grama Chayiv in Shabbos? When is Grama Potter on Shabbos? Right, that'll be a fascinating issue in terms of the Hagdara, Mlachis Machsheves, of Grama, and it's a very, very important issue of Halacha. So, Mir Tzah Shem will discuss this tomorrow. Tomorrow night, Grama, and then Sunday, Borer. Good.